The Unitarian Universalist National General Assembly this year in June will have a special theme of justice and will be a dramatic break from tradition. This is a fitting start for the second 50 years of Unitarian Universalism after the merger. In addition to familiar ongoing activity, there will be a new and intense focus on racial, economic, and immigrant justice. This national event will be held in our own UU Pacific Southwest District. Our guest speaker today is Mr. Michael Solwasser, who currently serves as president of the UU Pacific Southwest District. During his 24 years as a UU, he has served at many levels of the district. He co-chaired the Journey Toward Wholeness Transformation Committee. This committee assesses the effectiveness and commitment of UU institutions for creating a world without oppression and racism. He is also on the UU Equal Access Policy Committee. In his home congregation of Long Beach, he serves on the Personnel Committee and co-facilitates high school religious education.
Let me begin by thanking Jim for inviting me here this morning. Thanks to Mary and to Chris. Now I've forgotten the name of the person who did their testimonial. Laurel. I thank you for your service, for living your faith and being a part of this community. They say you're supposed to, in public speaking, to speak as if you're talking to the back row, since that's where almost everyone is sitting. I guess that's good advice. 2 years ago, I was enjoying the sunshine on the west patio of the Santa Barbara Church, anticipating the start of our Pacific Southwest District Assembly. My reverie was interrupted by disturbing news from Tom Lockery, our UUA trustee. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer had just signed Senate Bill 1070. This now infamous law would legalize and virtually compel law enforcement to harass anyone who does not fit a racist image of a true American. The next day, I would be moderating the annual meeting, and Tom wanted me to know he intended to introduce a resolution denouncing this affront to our religious principles. Janet Weider, secretary of our PSWD and an Arizonan, lamented that history might be repeating itself. Once before, a General Assembly scheduled for Phoenix had been canceled. That time, our UUA was honoring the boycott over Arizona's refusal to recognize Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday as a state holiday. At our business meeting on Sunday, Tom did introduce a resolution calling on our UUA president to re-examine the decision to hold the 2012 GA in Phoenix. The debate that followed was problematic. That is a subject for another sermon. But in the end, the resolution was adopted. Just 2 weeks later, our UUA board voted to have the General Assembly delegates make the final decision. I believe it's a reflection of our Unitarian Universalist values that our UUA board, even though they had the authority to decide whether to boycott Arizona, chose instead to entrust the General Assembly delegates to grapple with the decision using their collective wisdom. And grapple they did. Delegates in Salt Lake City, both those who supported the boycott and those who opposed it, held caucuses and debated at many assemblies. Ultimately, those who cared most passionately hammered out a compromise in marathon meetings that went late into the night and the wee hours of the morning. Significant to me, as a reflection of our association's progress on anti-racism and anti-oppression justice, people from disparate, historically marginalized communities and their allies, representatives of DRUM, Diverse and Revolutionary UU Multicultural Ministries, TRUST, Transgender Religious Professional UUs Together, Equal Access, and ARE, Allies for Racial Equity, were at the center of that debate. In the end, the delegates decided that we would go to Phoenix, but GA 2012 would be something different, something never witnessed before in the 50-year history of our association. As one speaker from the people of color community so passionately declared, "You cannot expect me or others who face real threats to our safety and liberty to place ourselves at risk to pass a business resolution. But many of us will answer the call to be witnesses to injustice and affirm our respect for the inherent worth and dignity of all people." The body voted to suspend all non-essential business and bring the saving message of Unitarian Universalism to Arizona through our presence and acts of service on behalf of the interdependent web of all existence. This possibly once-in-a-lifetime General Assembly, with its focus on racial, economic, and immigrant justice, will be distinguished from all previous General Assemblies by what we do as embodied in its name, Justice GA. As many of you know and can gather by my story and have heard before, I am president of our Pacific Southwest District, and we are the 2012 hosts of Justice GA. Because we are hosts, I felt it was important that your PSWD board educate itself about the issues of immigration. Together, Reverend Tara Little and I planned a retreat that would immerse us in the realities of the migrant experience. The PSWD board and staff witnessed Operation Streamline, a federal program designed to criminalize undocumented migrants by formally sentencing them and sending them to prisons operated by for-profit corporations, and thereby making it a felony should they ever return to our country. We met with overburdened public defenders who explained that the system does not allow for a proper defense, and migrants who might have a legitimate reason to avoid deportation are not afforded a fair hearing. Later, when we crossed the border into Mexico, I heard the story of a migrant who had been held in one of those privatized prisons. A lay religious worker was translating the deportee's story to a Presbyterian group on a humanitarian mission. The young man described numerous incidents of petty harassment and privations. What struck me was that he did not complain about his physical suffering, but the affronts to his dignity. What was important to him was that he be treated with respect, and agents of our government had failed in that fundamental duty. Your PSWD board met with a community organizer who gave us insights into how congregations could engage with community-based organizations to do justice work outside the walls of our church. She also said something I found particularly sobering. Those of us who thought immigration reform was the answer were being told not so fast. If we ever hope to create true immigration reform that is about justice and not feel-good band-aids, much more work has to be done learning about and revealing the realities of immigration before we can enact meaningful legislation. She called on us as people of faith to go into the community and build bridges of understanding. While the board was in Mexico, we visited EPOC, the home of hope and peace. and had lunch at the home of a local labor organizer. Both experiences informed us of the efforts of everyday folks working to better the conditions in their communities. EPOC is a community center that has after-school and nutrition programs for children, organizes culture of peace workshops for youth, and teaches adult education classes for mothers who work in the factories by day and take instruction in the evening. While we were there, we saw a cooking class for women and girls who might one day open their own businesses. And the labor organizer? Don't think big labor, think Norma Ray. These are grassroots folks who teach workers about their rights, but about their basic obligations. They learn what they need to do to keep their jobs and improve their working conditions. The final piece of education is back on this side of the U.S.-Mexican border. Two members of Good Samaritans guide us along the same trails followed by migrants. Migrants who are traveling from their homes in Mexico and Central America, searching for work to support themselves and their families. The trail is indistinct, even in broad daylight, which is not when the migrants do most of their walking. In a very short distance, some of us already disoriented, unsure even which direction is north. Less than half a mile from a house, we reach our destination, a plain wooden cross painted white. It marks the final resting place of a migrant. Less than 10 minutes from the safety and shelter of the house we had just passed. Our guide asked someone to read a poem found with the body of the perished migrant. I volunteer. The poem I read earlier was the poem that was discovered with that migrant. A poem about an ever-patient mother awaiting her child's return. Now the child has gone home to be with his mother and father in heaven. As we stood pondering the message of the poem, one of the Good Samaritans described their humanitarian work and their relationship with the Border Patrol. What surprised many of us was his lack of antipathy for border agents. The people were not evil. They were pawns in an evil system. He was echoing a sentiment we had heard repeatedly during our 2 days of travel. As Jeanette, the director of EPOC, said in a story she recounted to us, the migrant and the border agent share the same simple, heartfelt prayer that they will return safely to those that love them. The experiences of the board were profound. I am sure we have not yet fully understood their meaning or found all the ways they can inform us going forward. We did take a practical step. Your PSWD board established a scholarship fund to help youth, young adults, and people from historically marginalized communities who might not otherwise attend General Assembly. I hope that after my sermon, you will give generously to the special collection that will be taken for this cause. So, let's say you decide to go to Phoenix. What should be on your preparation checklist? Here's what I think. If Justice GA is going to fulfill its potential, UUs need to arrive already familiar with issues of racial, economic, and immigrant justice. We need to have already worked to educate ourselves and members of our congregations. Fullerton UUCF could hold workshops to explore immigration as a moral issue, the UUA-sponsored curriculum, or host a book study group using the death of Jocelyn from Beacon Press. Or you could do both. To give you even more ideas, let me share with you activities happening at my home congregation, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Long Beach. We established a Justice GA task force that is on fire. The task force hosted a forum to explain the events that precipitated Justice GA and what people could expect if they attended. For New Year's Day, the task force served a multi-course dinner with food from around the world, played UU Jeopardy, told our immigrant stories, and held a raffle to raise scholarship funds. Following Valentine's Day, the Justice GA task force held the reimagined prom, Laval de Justice. It was a fundraiser for GA scholarships, and a fabulously good time was had by all. All of these events far exceeded anyone's expectations, yet they matched our dreams. The task force staffs tables and displays after our Sunday services, encouraging participation in our pre-GA events and in attending General Assembly itself. Most of our Justice GA task force members, most of our Justice GA task force members went on a mission to the Arizona-Mexico border in March of last year, similar to the PSWD board trip I described earlier. The task force is planning yet another border visit, this time to cross the border south of San Diego. You may not be able to do everything Long Beach has done, but I hope I have inspired you to try something. And let me tell you where to begin. An entity that was first conceived at last year's District Assembly is the Southern California UU Justice Team. The team has raised money for and hired two part-time community ministers to work with congregations wanting to prepare for Justice GA. Ministerial candidate Emrys Staton, who ministers to the northern half of Southern California, has preached at my church and met by phone with our Justice GA task force to assess our plans and share ideas. I would encourage you to contact Emrys and invite him to meet with you. I would also be happy to tell you after the service more about Long Beach's successes and plans after, as I said, after today's service. Lest my sermon sound only like a sales pitch or a pep rally, let me describe the path that brought me here today. I have been drawn to work with those who are marginalized by society since I was in high school. But it was the summer before I started grad school when I began in earnest. For 1 week, I volunteered as a counselor as a resident at a residential summer camp for young men who were warehoused the other 51 weeks of the year in a sterile and personal institution for the mentally retarded. They were not warehoused out of malice, but because that was all our society could imagine for them. I spent the rest of the summer as a senior counselor at a day camp operated by the St. Louis Association for Retarded Citizens. Shortly after starting graduate school, I joined the Champaign-Urbana Equal Rights Amendment Coalition. There'll be a quiz afterwards, see if you remember that name, which shared an office in the student union with the Gay Illini. It was the Catholic Church that had first stirred my passion for social justice, but my belief in women's reproductive choice and everyone being able to love the person of their choosing led me on a path that diverged from the religion I was raised in. In fact, it led me away from any religion or religious community at all. While I rejected the church of my childhood and early young adult years, I continued to work for women's equality, which led to a leadership position in California National Organization for Women and being named Man of the Year by the Women's Studies Program at Cal State Long Beach. I was and am proud of those accomplishments. What was missing, and I didn't realize at the time, was a community that spoke to unmet needs, a community that could allow me to plumb my soul. That happened when I found, thanks to your other guest this morning, my wife, Maureen McHale, when I found the Unitarian Universalist Church of Long Beach. I had finally entered a religious home that nurtured my spirit and shared my values. The inherent worth and dignity of each person resonated with my understanding of justice, equity, and compassion. In the UU Church, I discovered that the same principles of justice that fed my soul and made my heart sing were the same principles that built the beloved community, both inside and outside the walls of my church. My faith grounded me and provided the solid foundation from which I could confront racism and counter oppression. I rose to positions of leadership and strove to use my authority not to self-aggrandize, but to inspire others to share the same passion I had for bringing our saving message to a hurting world. Justice GA is not the pinnacle of my work, nor is it any kind of endpoint, but it has the potential to be a pivotal moment in my life and the history of Unitarian Universalism. It has the possibility of sending ripples of transformation that will affect the course of history writ large. I want to be able to say one day that I was there for the miracle. I hope you will join me in body or in spirit at Justice GA in Phoenix. Thank you. Okay, so the question is, and I'm repeating this because I guess they have Jim has permission to put this out on the internet because I gave my permission, but he doesn't have permission for everybody else to have their questions. So the question was, what can we expect at Justice GA? And I invited Maureen up here because she knows as much about this stuff as I do, I think, and so she'll kind of fill in the parts that I miss. If you've been to GA before, some of the things will be familiar to you. We will still have the Ware Lecture. There will still be the service of the living tradition. There will still be worship. There will still be workshops. Some of the times may change to recognize the fact that we're going to be out of doors in the evening to do our public witness to avoid the heat of the day. So the Ware Lecture will be in the afternoon instead of the evening, kind of swapping places. But the workshops will all be focused on those three themes of justice: racial, economic, and immigrant justice. And they had twice as many workshop applications as they had slots, which is far more than what they get typically. And no one was trying to sort of say, well, you know, here's one on how to set up a finance committee. We'll sort of twist this around so it kind of fits the model. The workshops were dead on to those themes. So there will be public witness. There will be public service events. Will be much more prominent in this GA. Typically, we just have one. There will be several. There will be opportunities for service. There will also be opportunities for reflection event about what is going on, as well as workshops.
Evenings.
Right. The witness events. So, what are the witness events? We at this GA, we've invited, we are doing this in collaboration with our with partner organizations. This is a the driving force behind this, and as you notice, we've expanded to racial and economic justice. The driving force behind this was the around the issue of immigration. And so we have partner organizations who are working on immigrant justice, who we are bringing into conversation with us and into our General Assembly. And the witness events will be around the issues of immigrant justice. We will also, one of the actions that we're going to be taking at this GA is to go on record as a religious association against the doctrine of discovery. I don't know if people have heard that before. The doctrine of discovery goes back to several centuries ago. It was the one that basically said, if there aren't Christians living there, the land doesn't belong to anyone. And the first Christians coming there who discover it can now have the right to take that over. And that was the principle under which our country was founded. And so our partners in this have asked us to repudiate that, because that's one of the things that allows a lot of the injustices against immigrants and migrants relate to that doctrine of discovery. I don't have any specific knowledge of that. I imagine that's part of the conversation. I mean, one of the things is to understand all the things that feed into immigration, the making them the boogeyman, making immigration is in some ways used to explain all our ills of society, and we use them as the scapegoats. The war on drugs was a mechanism for doing that. Now it's just more direct. Immigrants are the problem. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. The Arizona Immigration Ministry, which is led by Reverend Susan Frederick Gray out of the Phoenix Church, she's the senior minister there. If you go to their website, they have the list of those partners. Puente is one of them. I think Somos America, Tierra y Libertad. No More Deaths. There's probably at least a half a dozen more organizations. It's organizations mostly national in scope who are working on immigrant rights and the issue of immigration. And I'm looking for a question about what Long Beach. Part of the reason I asked Maureen up here was to talk about what's happening at Long Beach, so I was hoping there'd be some questions about that. So the question is, what does justice for immigration mean? When I use that term, I think it's affording them, just one of the examples I gave about the migrant who was being deported and the way he was treated, that they are treated as less than. The fact that immigrants are made scapegoats, I think, is part of it. That we have a mythology about immigration. That the way we treat immigrants today is the way we've always treated immigrants. You know, one time there were no... Basically, the laws on immigration became tougher when the immigrants were people of color. When they were Europeans, there was limited constraint on that. When it was people from Asia, when it was people from Latin America, then it became a problem. And we put up barriers and passed laws. So where do we stand? I guess are you trying to contrast those who play by the rules and those who don't as being in opposition with each other? I'm not sure. I think, and again, I'll return to a point I made earlier. I don't think it's as beneficial as it might be to show up at Justice GA simply looking for answers. I think you have to come with well-formulated questions that you've already grappled with and tried to answer, that you've done work in your community. And I'll just a quick one, it just kind of came to mind. Part of the reason those migrants come here, it's kind of like if you had a barbecue grill in your backyard and embers from that went into your neighbor's backyard and their house burned down. Now they come over to your house to ask for help. okay, what the U.S. government has exported in terms of economic policies and drives those people to come here. What is our role in that? So to sort of blame them entirely for their economic situation in those countries, I think is to ignore the U.S.'s role in their economy.